under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues on this broadcast each and every day. We treasure you as our listeners. You're very important to the production of this program simply because we depend on you, your call-in dialogue and discussion in relationship to the issue each and every day. Lest I forget it, and oft times I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about a very serious issue, a prominent issue, a current issue, an issue that will affect, I believe, every citizen in America. The government today is in the process of pushing for the relaxation of the laws that control drugs like marijuana, otherwise known as pot. So the issue today, how should Christians respond to the government push to legalize marijuana? How should the Christians respond to the government push to legalize marijuana? Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're told that the federal government is about to lift the restrictions on marijuana, changing the category so that it will make it a use of drugs that will not be punishable by federal law. By the way, you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that across the nation, I think we have either 21 or 23. I've read three different reports on that. It's either 21 or 23 states that have legalized recreational marijuana. And yet recreational marijuana, marijuana in general, is still federally illegal, notwithstanding the fact that the laws are not being properly implemented or and or enforced in America. John Boehner, as you recall, the former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, after leaving the Speaker of the House, took a position with the major pot-growing commercial industry, started out at about $500,000 a year. This has been several years ago. And he made the brag then that under his tutelage, leadership, and promotion for the pot industry, that every state would have legalized pot, legalized drugs, legalized marijuana. We see that taking place. The bottom line is we're watching our politicians that's supposed to represent we the people, that's representing the pot industry because of the lobbyist and the payola that's taking place. So we're going to talk about it. It's a very serious issue. It's an issue that should grip the attention of every listener today. And I'd love to hear from you. We're going to have a brief monologue. And after the monologue, Dr. Glenn Davis is with us. We're going to be talking about how should Christians respond to the government push to legalize marijuana. Dr. Davis, delighted to have you here. You had a little traffic getting here, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I thank God for being able to
maneuver through it.
Help me. Yes. Because I really couldn't do it on my own. I do thank God again for being here on today. It's always my pleasure and delight, Dr. Youngblood, to be here with you on Fridays. Amen. And then just anytime. It ain't just don't have Amen. To be today. Amen. Anytime we can break bread and fellowship and talk about the goodness of the Lord and encourage the body of Christ, this is what it's all about on today. Amen.
And you do a good job on those days that sometimes I have things that take me away from the microphone that I pick up the phone and say, Dr. Davis, how about sitting in for me today? And you always do a good job with that. And I'm
Amen.
Thankful for
Amen.
It.
Amen. I want to give a shout out even to my good friend, Martin Turner. Amen, of WECC radio station. Mm-hmm. Had the privilege to meet up with him in Publix the other day. And I'm just excited to know, amen, that he's a listener also.
Amen.
Amen. So, and then all of you down at Bennett Chevrolet and just every place I go, Dr. Youngblood, they listen to us. Amen. Amen. And I'm very thankful and grateful. And I'm hoping and praying that you'll be able to get something to apply to your life to help us, because we're living in times of deception like never before.
And
amen.
That's exactly what we're faced with today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, lest you have forgotten. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authoritative, written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. It is the source book. It is the fundamental foundation for all that we should think, say, or do as believers in the world today. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, there's a declaratory statement in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 117, verse 2, the latter portion of that verse says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Don't you ever let anybody deceive you into believing that somehow, some way, we need to abandon truth. We need to jettison truth. We need to say that the Bible is no more relevant to society today. I believe that we need to have a central biblical worldview today, perhaps more than ever in the history of the world. We need that today. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that to be very, very real and truthful today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, Senator DeMint said this, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is true, but yet we find 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say this, "Each person determines his or her own version of truth." And that's the problem that we have in society today, is a sense of relativism, that truth is relative to what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're speaking, and it has no centrality, no fundamental core or foundation. That is why I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Powerful statement. It says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And he believed that, lived that, and even when being burned at the stake, he said, "Truth shall prevail." And so, ladies and gentlemen, don't get burdened down, bogged down, worry with the fact that the people that you talk with, the people that you meet and have conversation with, they reject the truth. When we talk about the lie of the mask mandate, we talk about the lie of the forced lockdown, we talk about the lie of so-called science through Emperor Fauci. There are those that will get all bristled up and say that you don't know what you're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the centrality of truth. We need to stand on it without bending, bowing, and in any way being broken in relationship to telling the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, ladies and gentlemen. And Tools for Time has the full line of the Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It is at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. There's a wonderful benchmark, 165-foot flagpole. The top of that flagpole flows the flag, the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanic and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. I'm appalled, not, how would you say, surprised, but I'm appalled by the fact that the federal government, now that's been for quite some time under the Biden administration, pushing transgenderism, trans surgeries, LGBTQ sodomite agenda, pushing abortion, pushing the COVID death jab, pushing the forced lockdowns, and pushing the reduction of the population by mass genocide, and that's exactly what they've been doing. They're also pushing, ladies and gentlemen, pedophilia, where they're pushing in parts of the federal government today, where it says a child, regardless of the age, has the right to say yes or no to sexual relationship, and that it should be all right to have laws that will allow adults to have sexual relationship with kids without being punished by the law. All of that's on the fast track. It was Tony Perkins just a couple of years ago that said, this administration is trying to destroy our faith, our families, and our freedom. And I don't know how you could put it any more succinctly than with the words of Tony Perkins in that realm. But ladies and gentlemen, they're attempting now, in the process now, early stages now, of lifting the restrictions on marijuana. Now, in the state of Florida in 2017, it was voted on in 2016, went into effect in 2017, we have medical marijuana. And I said then that the, and it's an amendment to the Constitution, can't be changed by law, and these nutcakes cases that wants to pass something that they know cannot be passed through the legislative process will pay enough to get enough signatures. There are people out there that will sign any petition to get a $5 bill or $10 or $7 or $3 will sign the petition. The petitions were signed. Enough signatures were gained, gathered, and put forth. And in 2016, went into effect in 2017 in the state of Florida, medical marijuana. I said then that it was simply the camel getting the nose in the tent so the next thing on their agenda would be for the recreation of marijuana. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In the state of Florida, it will be on our ballot November 2024 for an amendment to our Constitution to allow recreational marijuana in the state of Florida. It's on the fast track for that. It is being pushed by our legislators statewide, nationwide, and it is as a result, in my most humble opinion, it's as a result of the MONEY that's being pushed through the lobbyists by the millions of dollars to get them to make the decision of that which will ultimately be destructive for our nation. I'm looking at a headline. The headline reads this way: Feds recommend easing restrictions on marijuana. States have been moving, this article reads, dated August 31st, states have been moving to legalize marijuana, once banned by both state and federal statutes over the last decade. The results have been mixed. Sometimes crime has gone up. Sometimes suicide has gone up. Sometimes mental health issues have surged. Sometimes health problems have gone down. One factor that appears consistent is that more young people seem to try it out when states do not prosecute for the possession and or use of marijuana. Further in the article, it says this: what also is known is that modern marijuana is much more potent than the weed of yesteryear, and the newest and most dangerous drug threat to America is fentanyl, which regularly proves lethal to any user. Now, the federal government is being urged to join states in easing the rules on weed. A report from CNBC explains that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has recommended easing restrictions on marijuana. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to that. Where is the recommendation coming from? U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. Of all people, of all agencies, of all groups, of all departments of the federal government, there should be the recognition. I could go back to statistical data for California, Washington State, and Colorado, which were the first states to introduce and pass legislation for recreational marijuana. In the state of Colorado, it went into effect January the 1st, 2014. And we'll look at those statistics in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, of all places, of all institutions, of all agencies, there should be recognition by the Department of Health and Human Services, because it destroys health. It destroys anything that's called mental acuity. It destroys anything that's called the growth and development of the ability of the human being. And further, this article states, a spokesman for the Drug Enforcement Administration said the change would potentially expand, hear me, would potentially expand the market for cannabis. I know the name for weed, know the name for pot, know the name for drugs. And the impact of the statement was to send shares, just that impact of that statement, ladies and gentlemen. This article says it sent shares of marijuana companies even higher. The whole point is there's a push, ladies and gentlemen, that will destroy the morals, the ethics, the values. It will destroy our teens in America. It will destroy anything that's called mental acuity. It will destroy the IQ. It will destroy the mental ability of those that are still in school, whether it be grade school, elementary school, high school, college, or university. It destroys academia, ladies and gentlemen. The former Speaker of the House, as I said a little earlier, John Boehner, is now working for the major pot industry. By the way, listen, if you read any article, if you read any survey, if you read any research that says that pot's not bad, pot's not addictive, pot does not harm, 99.99% of the research that promulgated, pushed, and expanded in the news media across America, all of those surveys, all of those researches are generally done by the pot industry. Does that make sense? It does not make sense to me at all. But yet they're the ones that's sending out, putting out the biased, false, phony, almost like Dr. Anthony Fauci and his lies that a mask would work, knowing at the same time that a mask is ineffective, that a mask has no efficacy whatsoever. Then after he said mask will work, then maybe you need two masks, maybe it's three, maybe four masks will help you, all at the same time knowing that it's a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, this is being put out knowing that it's a lie, knowing that it will be knowing it is deceptive, knowing that it is destructive. This article says the federal change could open many doors for the industry, which already is a $1 billion a year operation in America. They're looking at the MONEY. They're not looking at the mass casualties that will take place in our nation. I'm going to touch on one other article, and then Dr. Davis and I are going to talk about this. This article says, amid drug epidemic, listen, in the midst of drug epidemic, feds want to make marijuana even more available. Now, the federal government is being urged to join states in easing the rules on weed. A spokesman for the Drug Enforcement Administration said the change would potentially expand the market for cannabis, and the impact of it, as I said a moment ago in this article, repeats it, caused the shares in the marijuana companies to go up majorly. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we live in a society today that's a drug-crazed society. And listen, here's the bottom line. If the federal government can promulgate, authorize, and legalize marijuana, we can expect to have, just as in Sweden and other communist or semi-communist Marxist nations, where the citizens totally depend on the government. Can you imagine a drug-crazed society? They're going to always vote for the government to continue to pay their rent, continue to provide clothing, to continue to provide a job, continue to provide food, continue to provide for their every need, because they're totally dependent. Listen, the continuation of what we're talking about today, the legalization of marijuana, marijuana is the gateway, hear me, is the gateway drug for all other drugs. It's the gateway that opens the door for other major hard drugs, as they're called. It's the gateway for heroin. It's the gateway for cocaine. It's the gateway for acid. It's the gateway for the mushrooms. It's now becoming more and more popular. It's the gateway for LSD. It is the gateway for every other drug, and the federal government knows it, And at the same time, they're wanting to make it legal in every state. It's bad enough for it to be legal in 21, 22, 23 states. It's bad enough to see the results of what's happening in Colorado, Washington State, and California as a result of it. But ladies and gentlemen, that's child's play compared to where we're headed with what the federal government is wanting to do today. It will force citizens to be dependent financially, medically, mentally, on the federal government. And that's what they're wanting. They're wanting a drug-crazed society that will place every individual in a position of depending on the socialist, Marxist, communist governmental system. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, you've heard my monologue and my statements. What are your comments? What are your thoughts? How do you interact with what I have said?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when you consider, let me say good morning to my bride of 37 years. I believe I might have forgot that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Love you so much. Amen. But I do want to say, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, if we examine the drug craze of the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. how many productive citizens came out of that generation?
That's right.
What were the effects? Mm-hmm. Did it better them? Now, how is that going to make things any better for this generation mm-hmm. if it didn't work in the other generation?
That's right.
Now, we need to consider, once again, and we can use some examples. When we look at Charles Manson and his followers, mm-hmm. they were drug-crazed people.
That's right.
And it
caused out of their mind.
That's right. It mm-hmm. caused them. And he's not the only one. There are many. Amen. But we're just going to use that one. But it caused them to do many heinous things. Murders and all these other things that happen. Now, I just saw in the news a few weeks ago, that one of his followers are up for parole, I think, getting ready mm-hmm. to be released mm-hmm. from prison. But I want to say that to say this. The only way that they can ever become productive, the way that God, or have the kind of life that God intended for them to have, is to be delivered from that stuff.
Yes.
Now, we know that God is able to do all things. And this is what we're here for, because the church is supposed to set the bar for the rest of the
Absolutely.
World.
Absolutely.
We're not here to follow the world. The world is supposed to be following us.
That's right.
But the problem is, we have compromised with the word in so many different ways to where when we hear things and see things being done a certain way, it becomes comfortable to the flesh, and then we take up with that, and we are willing to follow what we feel is comfort to us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't want to lose friendship with other people, and then we go along with that just to keep the friendship. But my friend, if that's what it's going to take for me to have you to remain as my friend, too bad and so sad, because I'm going to tell you it's wrong.
Amen.
And then I'm going to give you the word of God.
Amen.
If you got a problem with the word, you got a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to know, as you said in your monologue and your explanation just now, one thing leads to another.
That's right.
Now, I can't understand why this president would go along with that when he has a son that was a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that Hunter Biden started off drinking a Bud Dumber.
Yeah, Bud Dumber, a Miller Low Life.
Amen. And then it went from there to something else, to something else, to something else, until he got to the crack. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something. I've experienced up close and personal lives of productive people that used to be productive before they came to crack, how their lives were ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Some right now, today, I know have never recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Some I know have recovered, and they only were able to do that after they came to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying, what we want you to know and understand on today, this whole thing is not going to profit the government or anyone else if they legalize it, even if they intend to use it for medicinal purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So they say. Now, that's just supposed to be a little tag that they put on it just to make you feel comfortable. Or we found a medical use for it. Well, I'd like to know, Dr. Youngblood, I've heard this back in the day, smoking marijuana improves the eyesight. I want to know how many of them today still wear glasses.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they might have smoked tons and tons of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's happened. I mean, and then there are many other things that was just put out there just to say it was okay. And then we have Christians, and I think we had a brother that called a little while back when we talked about something in this same area. that confessed to be a Christian, and he said he didn't see anything wrong with it because God caused all these things to grow, and he said everything he made was good and very good. Well, let us make sure we understand again, when it comes down to Christians, we have to weigh this out through the lens of Scripture.
That's right. Absolutely.
Because I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is what the Apostle Paul had to say just about sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. He said in verse number 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. What does that mean? There's no benefit in
no
that.
No benefit.
Mm-hmm. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Mm-hmm. Listen, we have to examine these things and see what's good for us. If it's going to benefit us, then okay. But again, let us understand, marijuana is a drug, alcohol is a drug, and I want to say this too, tobacco is a drug.
That's right.
When I went in the store the other day, a few days ago, and I got ready to pay for my goods that I was getting, my drink and my chips and stuff, I just happened, the cigarette display was right behind where the cashier was standing, and I just happened, when I looked up, I saw a big sign, maybe 4x4 sign up on the wall that said, notice, the federal government has now required the tobacco industry to notify all people that use tobacco that they've only put enough nicotine in it to get you addicted. It might not say it in those same words, but it was something similar to that. I said, my God. Now they want to confess that nicotine
is addictive.
My God. And look at how many people have smoked all down. I've had many of my family members that smoked down through the years. Mm-hmm. And I wondered why they could never stop smoking. Mm-hmm. It's addictive. Yeah. So anything, in other words, and I'm going to say this and let you go, young blood, because I know you got a lot of other stuff. But for me, anything that makes you feel better than God can make you feel, you better watch out for that.
As they call it, better.
Amen. Amen. Because you know, we can always think it's better, but it's really not better. And I'm saying this again, from a personal standpoint, I have seen people who've been hooked up on this stuff, but it started off with taking an innocent drink, mm-hmm. just one beer after work, and then it went to a stronger drink like alcohol, whiskey. Mm-hmm. You know, they used to say, let's drink some Jack Daniels on a Friday. Mm-hmm. After work, we owe this to ourselves because we work hard all the week. Mm-hmm. And then when they got finished with the Jack Daniels, then they had to have something stronger than that.
Right.
So it went from that to the weed, to the cocaine, to the next thing. And then the next thing we know, we got a pill-crazed industry out there. People popping pills, and they're hooked on that. So this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to steer you away from this and not be deceived by this government thing here, because that's exactly what they're trying to do. They know if they can alter your mind and get you in a comfortable state to where whatever they say to you, that you'll do it.
You'll submit to it. Absolutely.
Oh, they got you then. You'll be just like a robot.
And you touched on just a moment ago, Pastor, about the medical marijuana. In the state of Florida, they passed that. We have pot shops now, some little small strip shopping centers. I've got a vape store here, a vape store there. That's just the front for your pot shops, for your marijuana stores. And they have literally proliferated that all over, not just Jacksonville, but city after city after city, knowing that the recreational marijuana is coming. And that is a mega billion-dollar business today, not looking at the end result of destroying the lives of young people, teenagers, preteens, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about that in a moment too, ladies and gentlemen, about the statistical data, the information from Colorado, Washington State, California, in relationship to what they have done after January 2014, when the legalization of recreational marijuana went into effect. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a dangerous thing that we're watching take place, promulgated by the federal government. Listen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break for about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. American employers added 187,000 jobs last month. That's more than economists were expecting. The Labor Department says the gains came in construction, health care, leisure, and hospitality. The unemployment rate went from 3.5% in July to 3.8% last month. First a hurricane, then a tropical storm. Idalia may be gone, but it left a lot of damage. Cleanup is underway across four states. After pounding Florida's Big Bend, the storm moved on to unleash flooding in Georgia and South Carolina, along with torrential rains in North Carolina before it moved out to sea. And President Biden is pressing Congress for more spending, billions more for disaster relief, and he says he wants the money this month. He plans a trip to Florida this weekend to see the damage for himself. This is SRN News.
Are you serving the Lord in any capacity in ministry? Conservative Theological University would like you to call today. CTU now offers partial grant scholarships for new students. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for admissions info for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very, very serious issue today. The federal government is in the process of changing the rules and the regulations to allow recreational marijuana to be legalized in America. It's already legal in, I believe it's 21, 22, 23 states, including the state of Florida, for medical marijuana in Florida, not for recreational yet, though that's on the horizon for November of 2024. And listen, let me just touch on that now that comes to mind. And the passage of the medical marijuana in the state of Florida, 71% of Floridians voted for it. That means Christians had to have voted yes on that ungodly, unholy amendment to our Constitution in the state of Florida. I'm appalled by it. For those that will say, I love Jesus, and yet will vote in such a way. And ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Colorado, I believe, is the best example of where we're going as a nation. In the state of Colorado, January 1st, 2014, the law went into effect. State of Colorado, the politicians pushed the recreational marijuana on the basis that if we make it legal, we will stop the black market sale of pot. However, let me just fast forward. At this very moment, the black market, as they call it, of marijuana in the state of Colorado outsells everything that's called legal marijuana. They did it simply in order to collect the dollars. But listen, in the state of Colorado, for every $1 that they collect on taxes, they spend $4 in social services to take care of those that's already debilitated as a result of the marijuana that they're ingesting. I believe it's a crock, if you want to use that term, to say that if we have recreational marijuana, that it will be beneficial. And I could go on, and will in just a moment, with the statistical data. Let me, in fact, just give a few of the statistics. In the state of Colorado, after January the 1st, 2014, all crime collectively went up 547% in the state of Colorado. Divorce and spousal abuse went up astronomically as a result of legalized marijuana. Preteen and teen overdose use by these preteens and teenagers using their parents' chocolate chip cookies, gummy bears, chewing gum, et cetera, laced with marijuana. As a result of that, the teens are preteens, not even realizing how much. By the way, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's not any regulation in America with any of the marijuana industry as to how much of the THC, how much of the marijuana goes into the cookies, the chocolate chip cookies, the chewing gum, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You could eat one chocolate chip cookie, for example, that's barely got some in it, and a teenager watching mom and dad eat those, not realizing the danger, will eat one of those chocolate chip cookies, and it could kill them. The emergency room services in the state of Colorado has gone up exponentially for preteens and teenagers as a result of marijuana overdose by eating a box full or a handful of chocolate chip cookies or gummy bears that they do not know will be to their demise as a result of taking it. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over with your question and comment, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you. Okay. I am just putting my little input because I don't know. I don't know who come up with this statement, but it has to keep coming up to me that it's just so relevant that we have opened the asylums and let them inmates loose, let them loose in leadership. To make policies and to lead in our country, so we are in big trouble. When we destroy the youngsters, destroy them with the drug culture, and when they commit crime, because mass shooting and all that never existed. When that happened, instead of we turn and say, well, we're messing up the minds of our children and we're destroying them, and this is why we are here. You know, mass shooting is a brand new thing on the culture. We don't do that. We don't look at that. We just say that, is it gun? We have to control the guns. We have to get the guns under control.
That's always what I say. Lily, let me jump in just a moment. You touched on that. Reminded me when talk about the mass shootings. Most people are not aware of this. Let me say this in a de facto statement. Every mass shooter has been involved in at the present time of the shooting or before with some psychotropic drug, either that which is an illegal drug or that which is a prescribed drug, and as a result of that, carried out the dastardly deed of shooting. Anybody that wants to challenge that, I dare you to go back and research it. Without an exception, mass shooter has been involved in psychotropic drugs of some type, and generally speaking, at the time of the shooting, on that drug. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Jamaica, right? And I grew up, as you say, less than 100 years ago in a culture that was crime-free, relatively crime-free, and we didn't grow up with a drug culture, but I knew the early days of the start of a movement in Jamaica it's called a Rastafarian movement, and I grew up with the government, Jamaican government, fighting to control the Rastafarian with the growing of the marijuana, the cannabis, growing it up in the hills and using it, and every now and then they commit major crime. So there was always this struggle with the government trying to get it under control. And for years in my early days growing up, I know about that. We didn't have a drug culture. Culture. We didn't have that. We didn't have the, but the Rastafarian was coming with the cannabis, the use of it. And eventually in the 70s, the government lost that battle with the Rastafarian movement and the marijuana because of the university getting involved. The university in the 70s joined a lot with the Rastafarian movement, and eventually you couldn't, when you see, well, you know, the Rastafarian, dreadlock, they call it, the style, they don't cut the hair, and the locks the hair, and that kind of thing. So the Rastafarian, the university, lecturers and students got into the movement and put blood and strength into the Rastafarian movement, that eventually the use of marijuana became, they made it a religion. They make the Rastafarian movement a religion. And next thing we know that they were having the church, and they said the use of the marijuana was part of the ritual in worshipping Jah, worshipping whatever.
Yes.
So the craziness is, that was what the Jamaican government lost the battle. Even I was there a couple of days ago, and while I was there, you know, the early on, the children couldn't go to school with the dreadlocks that the Rastafarian had. They couldn't go. Eventually, they allowed them to go to school, but they had to have a covering on the head. Well, while I was there 2 days ago, I just heard them announcing that the government going to ease up that, so they now can go to school without the covering on the head and things like that. So we are little by little losing the battle, losing. And when I see the America pick up now to be promoting the marijuana, as you say, it's a gateway. It's not as strong as the other drugs that they bought. It start them. And when you introduce the kids to use a portion of drugs in the cookies and the candies, they you're getting them ready to. So we're destroying our culture in so many ways. On top of now with the LGBT claiming them and destroying them with changing their gender, all of that. Statement is so powerful that is mad people, crazy people making policies.
Yes, it is. Lily, what you're saying is we're watching this happen on a global basis, and it reminds me that in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, it talks about in the last days we will have a drug culture, and we're watching that manifesting itself, and it's being carried out by the politicians, whether it's America or other nations. It is being the deceit, which is a demonic deceit, to tear down and destroy. Satan comes to tear down, destroy, and to kill. And that's what we're seeing unleashed on our population today. Lily, you're exactly right. And all we can do as Christians is keep praying, keep warning, keep on being the watchman on the wall and letting the world know that there's danger ahead, danger ahead. Thank you so much, Lily, for your call. Keep looking up. God bless you today. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go over the question or comment, please.
Well, it's interesting. I was listening to what she said, and I have an article, August 31st, 2023, called Smoke Alarm, and it's quoting a study by Jamaican-born neuroscientist Yasmin Hurd, who has done in-depth studies on the effects of cannabis. Some people might call it ganja. Some people might call it marijuana. And the amount of THC, which is the actual chemical that's in the marijuana, is tetrahydrocannabinoid, THC. The level of THC in today's marijuana, ganja, cannabis, whatever you want to call it, is vastly higher than it was for some of the folks that are talking about smoking it in the 60s and 70s. All right, from 1995 to 2020, 1995, the average THC concentration was 3.96%. Now it is upwards of 15.34. You understand what I'm saying? It's roughly five times greater just from 95 to 2020. It's probably 8 to 10 times greater than the stuff that they smoked in the 60s and 70s. And that's if you're just getting marijuana. As a retired policeman, I can tell you some of the stuff we were finding on the street was called hydroponic weed or bud, as you wanted to call it, and it was really expensive. And I was trying to figure out why. The concentration level of THC in that stuff was very high. So it was like they were selling gold or silver nuggets on the street. It was expensive. But there is a psycho, let me see if I have to say the term exactly correct. There's a term they're using, psychiatric, hang on a minute. I'll come up with the right term in just a second. It has a cumulative effect on the brain. They did a study based on the children born to women after the Superstorm Sandy in New York, and these women admitted they had smoked marijuana. You know, basically they were inside or isolated for a long period of time and said they had smoked it while they were pregnant. And so they looked at the children. The children suffered the effects of the THC in the womb, and they were coming out more hyperactive, more, I guess you could use the word, vicious or agitated. They had problems trying to focus. They were more depressed. They were more anxious than the rest of the children in the study. So there is a directive causative link. It's not an assumption. It's now a scientific fact. So the question is, why would the government promote this? Not only is it very profitable for the politicians that have their hands in the pockets of the weed growers, but we are creating a society of dependent children. Not just the children, but those parents that have to take care of these children will have to lean on the government for support. And like I said before, on the government dole. You're creating a population of dependency, not to mention the people that have the problems and effects from the THC were more prone to risky behavior, gambling, and doing things that would lead to other drugs. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
The mentality.
That's it.
The mentality has been affected.
Yes. Glenn, one of the things, too, and I'm glad you touched on that, especially from a law enforcement background of what you've seen on the streets in years gone by. And I'm looking at an article that says, this is funny, but it's not funny. Americans are buying marijuana more than they're buying chocolate. This article says the senior data reporter that investigated, looking at the amount of money Americans spend on legal marijuana in 2022, the number tops other recreation indulgences like chocolate, end quote. It's a sad, sad shame when we see that taking place. But you're exactly right, Glenn. I'm looking at some of the statistics from Colorado. Home foreclosures up dramatically after the introduction of the legislation and the law being passed 2014. Driving while impaired, accidents up dramatically. The state spends $4 for every on social services for every $1 collected from the tax money. Law enforcement unable to control crime, robberies, burglaries, home invasions, etc., for looking for money to buy pot. Unemployment up, people can't hold a job. Mental illness up dramatically because of pot destroying the brain cells and reduces mental awareness and acuity. The destruction that's found as a result of drugs. And it is, I believe it should be criminalized, not commercialized. I believe it should be illegal, not authorized. Dr. Davis, take a moment, respond to some of the things Glenn said and what you heard Lily saying and how we should respond to it.
Well, the mysterious part about all of that, and I thank both of them, amen, for what all they had to say, and I'm hoping that people are listening very closely, because the mysterious part about all of that to me is, what are we not learning?
Mm-hmm.
Sister Lily came on there and said some things that really caught my attention, because if the Jamaican government is not letting the students, and that's the way I felt I heard that,
that's right,
going to school not wear dreadlocks due to the Rastafarian thing and all of this connected with drugs and drug activity and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. What are we not learning?
Right.
Why are we not getting that?
What are we not learning, Pastor, when we find out California, state of Washington, and Colorado are the forerunners, the pioneers in that area, looking at their statistical material data, and I've done that for the several years now, and it is mind-blowing. It is staggering to realize that the harm and the danger. Glenn, from your knowledge of pot, and not because you've used it, but your knowledge of the marijuana and what it does, how is it affecting Christians? otherwise moral, ethical people. How is it affecting society from a law enforcement standpoint as you see it?
It's multiple. It's multifaceted. Let's just say from a conservative standpoint, we won't even have to introduce Christianity into it. But we have a lot of naive Christians who think, well, it's all natural. How can it be bad to show the good things? You know, these are for cancer patients. It's supposed to eliminate pain, all these other things. Okay. And we're being sucked into a drug culture. We're being sucked into it. You mentioned about the THC gummies and other things that are out there. They're pulling a normally or historical conservative group of people into the drug culture and beating the drums of, oh, well, there's medical uses for it. And then, of course, there were obstacles, legal obligations or legal obstacles to go through in order for the medical community to be able to administer it. Well, they kept putting this thing on the ballot and proposing it as if we didn't have access to the miracle, the medical THC. But they did. Mm-hmm. All right. But they kept pushing it because the politicians are connected to the weed growers, and it's about money. It's about money, okay? They don't care if the whole world suffers so long as they profit from it. And like I said before, they're dumbing down civilization, and they're actually creating almost an anarchy situation. Now, let's back off of that just a second. Hunter Biden and the investigation of him having a firearm while bragging that he was under the influence of illegal drugs and substances is in violation of the federal law that you cannot obtain a firearm if you're under the influence of an illegal substance. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why not change the law in the favor of the ones in the favor of Hunter Biden? Okay.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? They're playing both sides against the middle to get what they want, and they made profit on the deal. But overall, for the society, okay, for Christians, you got to say no to this. You have to say no to this because the ones that are actually using the marijuana, they're going to, by this scientific study, they're going to have riskier behaviors. They're going to be more extremely anxious and or depressed and paranoid. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So
that way the pharmaceutical companies can give them more narcotics or whatever else they're going to prescribe for anxiety. It's a money, money, money-driven machine. And the populations, the people, the culture – suffers. We're suffering, but they just keep dumping it on us. Now, if your ultimate goal is to be in a situation where the government can take away firearms, think about this for a minute. If you don't have the Second Amendment, you don't have a First Amendment or any of the rest of the civil rights. Do you understand what I'm saying? But by the letter of the law, if you're under the influence of an illegal substance, you would not be able to have a firearm. This is kind of a backdoor approach as to what they did with the domestic violence, even though it was a misdemeanor, okay? They said, well, if you're guilty of a misdemeanor charge of domestic violence or domestic assault, then you wouldn't be allowed to own a firearm or ammunition, and they sent somebody else to collect it from you. All right? Now, some of this stuff is being overturned in the Supreme Court level, and you're like, okay, they're also talking about having convicted felons allowed to purchase firearms. So when they strike down the next one for the people with drug charges to have firearms and or under the influence of drugs to have a firearm, what are you going to have? You're going to have a cascading anarchy event across the board where your bad guys, your wolves, are okay to have firearms. They're always very restrictive of conservative speech or conservatives' right to the Second Amendment privilege of a firearm for self-protection. But apparently it's okay for the felons. Do you understand? It's a soup. It's an alphabet soup of conflict of basically stirring up and manufacturing a problem. But they make money on the deal.
Absolutely. Glenn, I'm looking at an article, and then I'll let Dr. Davis respond. Our medical analyst urges caution on recreational marijuana. And it states in this, marijuana is a plant that has many active ingredients. One of the principal ones is the psychotropic compound called THC. You touched on that. This article says weed users nearly 25% more likely to need emergency room care, hospitalization, and services. Using marijuana can cause impaired thinking, impaired driving, interfere with someone's ability to learn, according to the National Institute of Drug Abuse. Smoking cannabis can also impair the function as part of the brain to regulate the balance. Further, it says the main concern about marijuana use is the impact of the developing brain. As the U.S. Center for Disease and Control Prevention states on the website, quote, Marijuana's effects, marijuana affects brain development. Developing brains such as those in babies, children, and teenagers are particularly susceptible to the harmful effects of marijuana and THC. THC warns, the CDC even warns against secondhand smoke from marijuana. But yet we find that's a governmental agency. We find another governmental agency, the Department of Human Health and Services, that now is saying it's okay. We need to extend the marijuana so that it's legal. So, Pastor Davis, we've got just a few minutes left that I want you and Glenn to respond to. What's the biblical mandate? What are some of the biblical texts that we need to go to as our source for saying that Christians, conservatives, patriots, churches ought to stand against this rather than being brought into the fold of it? I'm looking at one in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'll paraphrase it. We're to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable unto the Lord. Glenn, what do you say, Pastor Davis, what do you say biblically?
Well, if we, like you said, if we stick within the confines of Scripture, I mean, I'm looking again at what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, I read that earlier, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Then it goes down in verse number 13 and say, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So listen, how can we glorify God in our body if we're doing the same thing, putting things in our bodies that the world are putting in their bodies?
Yes.
I mean, and then it's altering the state of your mind. How can you be in any shape to be able to witness about the goodness of Christ to the rest of the dying world, and you're not in your right mind?
That's right. If you're part of this, is the problem.
Getting back to what we said earlier, and I believe I heard you say this in some of your explanation, not only that drug, but many other drugs have been in the systems of people who have committed crimes.
Yes.
Now, just the other day, this guy that did the mass shooting over here shot the people right here in Jacksonville.
Right.
Our condolences go out to their families.
Yes.
But we want people to know that anyone that has been Baker acted should not be permitted to buy firearms.
Right.
Now, again, I'm sure he had to have some kind of treatment for that, some kind of drug, to do something to try to help his mind.
Right.
Again, we want to make sure that people steer clear from this so that they don't sign off on it as Christians, something that's not going to be beneficial to the body of Christ and give glory to God in the proper way that it should
Absolutely. Amen. Glenn, we've got about a minute and a half. We'll let you wrap up with a challenge to our listeners from the Christian conservative perspective.
Well, our Bible tells us that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. If you're trying to pull somebody out of a pit, you wouldn't get in the pit. You reach up, you reach down to them as they reach up for help. You don't crawl down in the hole with them, all right? Now, in I think it's 1 Peter, which says to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How can we be sober and vigilant if we're intoxicated, if our faculties are impaired with any drug? And I'm talking about, like Pastor David said, there's heroin, there's cocaine, there's alcohol. A lot of people don't even consider alcohol a drug. It is. It impairs your faculties, okay? And if you're doing that, you can't be sober. You can't be vigilant because you're impaired. They used to say that the marijuana would make the guy answer, hey, stupid, a lot slower, okay? Now, I generally didn't have to fight the ones that were smoking weed, all right? But I'm telling you, there's so much THC in it now that it makes them hyper paranoid, okay? And they may not even think that you're being aggressive, and all of a sudden, they're taking defensive action for something they perceive because they're intoxicated. And Pastor Davis touched on the fact that many criminals are under the influence of something, okay? We're supposed to be possessed by the Holy Spirit as Christians. We're supposed to be full of the Spirit of God as Christians. Okay, there's no room for anything else in there. Okay, I want the truth. I want purity. I want the holiness that only God can provide. People are seeking to be filled with something in this world, and they can never fill the empty spot that can only be filled with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what they're
looking for,
but they're using everything else.
That's exactly right. Glenn, thank you so much. Dr. Davis, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood,
pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.3.